the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The sermon for Quasimodo Genitae is based on the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you," showing them his hands, feet, and his side. Thus far the text. Easter must be more than simply a school break, more than a few hours of some sort of emotional high. It must be more than simply beautiful, more than a spiritual mountaintop. Jesus lives, and that is the reality. Jesus lives, and creation is restored. Although this present life is crumbling before you, and you are dying, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ makes it all new. His death and resurrection not only colors all of your lives so that you do not mourn as those who have no hope, but his death and resurrection is the very thing which gives you life. You are forgiven. You have peace with God because Jesus lives. So why then do the disciples doubt? Thomas's doubt is obvious, and it is named in the Holy Scriptures. He excludes himself from the gathering from his brothers on Easter evening. He demands proof from God. He wants to see the evidence of Jesus' death, the print of the nails and of the spear, not in piety and awe, but because he thinks God might try to trick him. The other apostles also doubt. Not only when the Lord first appears in the upper room where they cower in fear and doubt, but also on the Mount of Ascension in Galilee, where they fell on their faces to worship him, but they also doubted. Our Lord's admonition to St. Thomas that he stop doubting is simply an admonition to stop sinning. All sin is doubt, for it doubts that God is good and that he loves you. It accuses the Lord of holding out on you that he is somehow being evil, or that he doesn't really understand what you need. Sin seeks to take for itself what the Lord has not given. This is what Adam and Eve's sin was in the garden. They thought they could see for themselves what was good, so that they could take it. This is what you do every time you sin. You think that you will find some joy, some pleasure, some satisfaction. And guess what? You never do. You often get away with sin, but there's always a cost to the world around you, to your loved ones, and most especially to your souls. You think yourselves wiser than God, better knowing than he when it comes to what you need and what will be good for you. My friends, this is doubting God. He doubts that God is good and wise and loves you. The old Adam and this doubt could care apostles bow as you bow because they are sinners. Their fallen flesh has gotten the better of them. Even when the Holy Scriptures are opened to them and they see that all of the prophecies, all of the narratives, all of the Psalms and Proverbs together speak of the Messiah who will lay down his life as a ransom and raise it up again, even when they have been eyewitnesses to the miracles, and they have the Holy Spirit breathed into them and peace bestowed upon them, they still doubt. They've had their mountaintops in joy greater than yours that you celebrated last week. But they still doubt. They sin. They fail. The Lord Jesus Christ, however, does not fail. He is not infected with original sin, and he committed no sin. He was wrapped in the swaddling clothes of Adam and Eve's sin in order to bear their shame. That is what he put to death. No one took his life from him. He laid it down alongside the Passover lambs of the temple as a sacrifice to reconcile humanity to the Father, to declare peace on earth. Then he took up his life again. He overcame death, and his soul came back into his body, and he rose again. He was vindicated by the Father. His word is true. His sacrifice on your behalf accepted. The swaddling clothes, the linen clothes, meant to cover mankind's shame, Jesus left them in the tomb. Man's shame has been removed. The fallen flesh of Adam and Eve now needs no fig leaves of their own feeble design, nor do they need the skins of animals sacrificed for them. Man's sins are forgiven, and you are declared righteous. Jesus is exalted and needs no clothes. He walks the earth as man was meant to, as man was first put into the garden, without mistake, with no coverings, and unashamed. That is how Jesus came into the upper room. No more humiliation according to his glory. He came to speak peace into those who failed him, speaking peace on the very disciples who fled in fear. Jesus did not fail, but he was betrayed. He did not sin, but he coldly bore the punishment as though he had. He gave himself over to death for sinners. He died for all the failures and all of the doubters, and he rose again for their justification. He came to the apostles in his resurrected body, not in anger, nor in vengeance. He came because of their sins. Jesus pursued them because he knew what they needed. Him. He doesn't enter the room to give moral training, to give them wisdom how to live their best life now. Just as at Christmas you will find nowhere in the Holy Scriptures a jolly old man racing through the skies in a sled, so too here Jesus came not into the upper room to tell them about a rabbit who will come to hide eggs. Jesus pursued them. And what does he do? He delivers to them the theology. pierced. He went there to reveal his love for sinners, to bestow the peace that he had won for them. Sure, they had failed, but it did not matter because he did not fail. He loved them to the end, and he is risen from the dead. God gathered you last week to celebrate the resurrection of the Lord with great joy and fanfare. You honored the word a little more than the usual weeks in the church year, with its procession out and being among the people. But praise be to God that you are not gathered to celebrate mundane things. You are gathered to receive the holiest of things, to the highly exalted word and sacraments which bring you your life in Christ Jesus. Is that to say that your joy has overcome all doubt? Not on this side of glory. Not for now, for now. You live with both the flesh and the spirit always at war within you. Your worship is not without fail. Your hearts are not without sin. You are heirs of Christ, and yet heirs of Thomas as well. You are brought to confess, my Lord and my God, and in so doing you are drowning the old Adam in you, who does nothing less than pepper you endlessly without. Yes, you still know some fear and some pain, and you know your squeamish thoughts. Doubts. Yet Jesus lives. Thanks be to God, he still comes to you to make that known among you through his means of grace. Yes, you will struggle in your flesh, for the present seems uncertain as you see the world crumbling around you. But your future is for it's Jesus' death and resurrection that brings you to confess, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? You live by faith, and faith receives what God has to freely give. You still mourn, fear, and doubt, but you do not do any of those things as those who have no hope. This is exactly why you've been gathered back here this week. You are here again, just as the apostles on their very next week, 8 days later, the following Sunday. You are here in this, your upper room. Here, for fear of what the world, your flesh, and the devil have done and will do to you. But again, it is here that the Lord comes to you, coming through the locked doors of your pride, coming through the locked doors of your cold, dead hearts, cracking them and making them alive, imputing his righteousness to you, giving you the peace that he gained for you as he declares you righteous through his merits on the cross. He comes absolving and forgiving over and over. He comes strengthening to joined to the risen body of our Lord. And you also joined to it through the word and the water and the bread and the wine. You have hope because God's divine service to you brings you the hope that will never disappoint. Jesus died for your sins, but he lives and reigns. Yes, you will have doubts and sins, and you will always be afflicted by them, but you also have peace with God. He sent his Son to die your death and give you life. And he continues to come to you, giving over and over the peace that passes all understanding. Give us peace, and we'll see. When you are in the valley of the shadow of death, even when you have hours to go until the mundane or abusive day of school comes to a close, even when your children disappoint you or your spouse fails you, the risen Lord is with you through it all. He is the one who abides for you. He is the faithful one who continues to pursue you despite yourselves. You do not mourn as those who have no hope. Jesus lives. He is risen, but he is not gone. He is here where he promised to be for you, continually coming to speak his peace over and over in word and sacrament. He loves you, and he will see you through. Peace be unto you. Jesus lives, and he comes for you. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.